Welcome to this Saturday night on KABC. I am Bill Jenkins. This is Open Mind. And tonight, we want to open your mind again to a blending of two worlds that we're seeing happen more and more and more. There is the world of the metaphysical. There is the world of the physical. And as science gets more involved, it becomes more pristine and understands more about what it's doing. They get together. And we have a couple of people to be with you tonight who I am delighted that will be here. Dr. Robert Beck, Dr. Bob Beck, will be joining us about 10:30 tonight. And we will talk about the incredible world of the ELF signals, the effect that science can have on the mind. And we will talk to Bob Beck in about an hour and a half. But I am very delighted tonight to have with me Dr. Valerie Hunt. She is at UCLA. She's really one of the biggies at UCLA, in fact. And she has discovered some amazing things about the human body and about the aura and about how electricity in the body may be doing something to help you heal. Dr. Hunt, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's very nice to have you here, Doctor. What is this auric field and the human aura, and what does that have to do with health, and are we really seeing it now? Are we taking it out of the area of the mystics?
Indeed we are, Bill. This has happened now for approximately 10 or 12 years we've been working on this, and other researchers also have been working, in which we have found that there is light radiating from the body in the form of photons, and I have discovered electromagnetic energy radiating from the body, which is seen by aura readers, or readers that individuals that can visualize, and has been called an aura. Mm-hmm. But actually what we're finding is that it's much more elaborate and it's much more exciting scientifically than the material that's been written in the metaphysical.
Okay, now you say you're doing your research. Are you doing this at UCLA?
I have done it at UCLA. I'm not at UCLA at the present time. I'm an emeritus professor.
Uh-huh.
But I was there for 35 years where this work was originally started.
They have been working a long time on it. I know Dr. Moss was over there for a while.
Yes, she was there. She was not working in the same thing that I was doing, but she was working on the field of energy radiating from the body.
So there is an energy field that the body
radiates.
Yes,
indeed, a very strong one.
Some researchers have told us that there is within the human body, in the form of potential energy, into the billions of watts of energy.
I'm sure it is that amount. The amount that we gain, that we are able to record, is very small, but it is continuous and it's constant. And if this is focused, you know, it's like the light of a small light bulb. When it's incoherent, energy is not very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's made coherent, then it has the great, great power like a laser.
If we can do something to make it potential, the potential energy, kinetic energy, we've done something then, have we not?
Indeed we have.
Do you see any inroads happening in the world of science where we can start using the energy that we all have? And if you want to be religiously mystic for a minute, the energy that Jesus taught us that we had.
Yes, indeed.
How do we use it?
Well,
how do we turn it on?
We have evidence, and I researched it in the laboratory, that the people who are called healers, sometimes they're called spiritual healers or
mm-hmm.
psychic healers, it's the same thing. These are individuals that are able to radiate energy and to pinpoint it. And I did study a great many healers and found that at the time of their healing, their body radiated a very powerful low-frequency energy, which is the healing energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bill, they had two things going on. They had a high-frequency energy, which seems to be associated with their consciousness.
Hmm.
And the fact that they can move into the mystical realms in which they have more information than most people have. But it seems that the energy which did the primary changes in the physiology was a relatively low-frequency radiation, and that is not being used now in hospitals for the treatment of fractures, a low-radiation energy. And it's used for treatment of fractures, for the healing of burns, for all types of trauma.
It took a long time for the AMA to go ahead and let them use those machines in hospitals, didn't
it? Well, yes, because, you see, they are a mechanical machine. Now, ideally, the human body radiates a vibration which is just as effective in healing And you see, it cannot harm because it is a normal human energy. And each one of us have that energy, and we can learn to pinpoint it. We can learn to change the field into more coherency and can learn to treat ourselves.
Is this the energy that some people use that have this amazing ability, for instance, to bend spoons and change and alter things?
Yes, it's the same energy. It's exactly the same energy. It's put to a different function. This is a function in which we're moving a mechanical thing, and that is we're distorting a mechanical thing rather than also affecting the circulation, the blood vessels, the endocrines, and so forth. It's the same energy.
So the ability to turn on this energy, whether we can do it ourselves...
Anyone can do it, Bill.
...or have it stimulated in some fashion is perhaps a whole new roadway toward healing.
Let me tell you just one story. It's a very dramatic one. A young man, a football player, who had had multiple fractures of all of the bones of the feet and was badly swollen and been told that he would not probably ever play football again. It was such an extensive fracture. I think it came as a result of an automobile collision. He was in one of my classes, and when he came, I said to him, no, I think we can heal this, and we can heal it rather rapidly. I am a registered physical therapist, so I do work on injury and things of this type. But I taught him to breathe energy through his feet. Now, this was just as though his nose was down at his feet. And to breathe through his feet and to breathe up into his abdomen and then back down through his feet. In 2.5 months, he had a total healing of multiple fractures that they did not expect that he would ever walk without a limp. Now, this sounds like a miracle, but it really isn't.
Well, I'm wondering how you can breathe through your feet.
You can imagine that you're breathing through your feet.
Okay.
You follow?
Okay.
And as you imagine this, what happens is you move the electromagnetic energy up through the feet by the very thought process.
Uh-huh.
You can do it to any part of your body.
So it's our own little switching
system. Correct. By conscious thought.
Well, the whole body is honeycombed with all of these little nerve ends and cascade discharges going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And something controls that. It's us that controls that, then.
Of course.
It's usually done in a subconscious way, I presume. But are you saying that we can consciously now begin to move this energy around within our own body?
Yes, indeed.
How do you do it?
Well, first you do it by thinking about the area. The second one is we want a flow of electromagnetic energy. Now, we have found in our laboratory that this energy does not flow through the nerves primarily. And you know about meridians and acupuncture plots.
Right.
But it primarily flows through connective tissue. And connective tissue is the most extensive tissue in the entire body. Mm-hmm. It holds the body together, forms organs, holds the cells. And so it is the most extensive, and it flows through this. So that we have direct access then to any part of the body which we want. So if you would take, for example, and you would think about an area that has been injured or that is in pain, you would think about that, and you would concentrate on moving energy in and out of that area. You want a flow to occur. And I use the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though you're breathing through your foot, you're breathing through your hand, you're breathing through the back of your neck, in which you see energy moving back and forth, and then we record, and the fact is that you do move the energy.
Does this affect the aura when you move it?
Yes, indeed. The aura gets more elaborate, and it does change in its frequency. Now, we were able to record energy in the human body from the surface, which is up to 200,000 cycles per second. Now, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It's like $1 million if you never saw it.
Well, there's a lot of cycles there.
Yeah, there's a lot of cycles.
We can only hear at best 16,000 of them.
Yeah, but when you compare it with brainwaves that we get so excited about, and most of the brainwave we talk about is up to about 12 or 14 cycles per second, and that's 12, and we're talking about 200,000 now, and the muscle and the heart contraction is between 200 and 250 cycles. We're up to 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working here with the atomic level of the body.
And you can just turn it on and off if you know how to do it.
You can turn it on and off. and it really is very easy to move it.
Are we leading ourselves then into an era where we will see no sickness, perhaps? No disease?
Well, we're certainly moving into an area where if we can maintain, I believe, the health of the electromagnetic system. Now, we've talked about physical health as being connected with the organs and the circulation and so forth. But if we can think about health as health of the electromagnetic field, which is even at a deeper level than the health that we're speaking about, we can offset many, many, many of the diseases and dysfunctions that occur in the aging population.
Well, it seems that you're saying to me something, if I can put it in my own kind of words, Dr. Hunt, that forever, I suppose, that we have dealt with physical illness on a very physical level.
That is correct.
Using chemicals and knives and needle and thread, things of this nature. But we have never really dealt with the matrix upon which this physical body is built.
Yes, I like what you just said. That's absolutely correct.
And so we have an electromagnetic matrix that holds it all together.
Correct. And that probably is the source. I believe that the electromagnetic field becomes disturbed before it's ever manifested in the physical tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And that by that time it's already, you know, it's downstream. I think the time will come when we will pick up cancer in the electromagnetic field months to years before it's ever manifested in the body.
What is it that disrupts this magnetic field, this matrix?
Aha, lots of things.
That's what I thought.
Lots of things. One of the major ones is emotion.
Stress. Emotion.
Yeah.
Probably you can get right down to stress, because emotion always brings on stress one way or another.
Well, correct. It does. Except if these are frustrating emotions. Not all emotion brings on stress, but the frustrating ones certainly do bring
on stress. Some emotions are fun.
Yeah, they are fun, and they're clear, and they're pure. Yeah. And it's only when it's a frustrating one that it creates the stress situation. This is one of the major ones. Food, for example, changes the field also. The vegetables and the fruits and the nuts that so many people now are putting as a part of their diet keeps the field much, much higher in frequency. And the meats and the potatoes and the sweets tends to lower the frequency of the entire body. Now, we have some very good studies on this.
All of those things that I love are lowering my frequency.
Well, you'll learn to love the others.
Well, I do love the
of
others.
Of course you do.
But I certainly am fascinated, Dr. Hunt, by the idea that we can bypass chemicals, perhaps.
We can.
And start looking now at the electronic or the field upon which our physical being is really operating.
You know, I think we've done very well now in increasing our physical activity. This nation now is very active, conscious, and we do increase the capability of the physical body to resist the disease and dysfunction by physical exercise. But we will take on a new form of exercise, which is exercise in the electromagnetic system.
How do you do that?
Well, this is one I was just telling you about. You breathe through, you think about, you feel energy moving through your particular body. And one of the things that's done, and many teachers teach this, is to, and you can do this right now and your listeners can do this, can think about energy coming down your hand and dripping off your fingertips as though water is dripping off the fingertip. And as you take a breath, you'll breathe in through the lungs, and as you exhale, you will feel that energy going right out to your fingertips and dripping off your fingertips, and then put your hand on your knee and feel the radiation coming through your hand.
All right, I think that's a little thing that we can all just...
Everyone can try
that.
Focus
on that right now.
You take a breath, and you're aware now, taking the breath into your lungs. And as you exhale, you experience the energy going out your arm, into your hand, and dripping off your hand as though it is water, or energy dripping off your hand, and just let it go right back into your body. Now, wherever there's pain or wherever there is difficulty, you can use this technique. It will heal cuts, injuries very rapidly.
I do feel a little tingle doing
that. Sure you do. Sure you do. Mm. And if you stay there long enough, it's going to get real hot.
Had that happened a number of occasions, too.
I bet you.
Well, while everybody is trying that experiment again, mm-hmm. we're going to take a little bit of a break here, if I may. At 22 minutes past the 9 o'clock mark, it's Open Mind. I need to have with me Dr. Valerie Hunt. Her research in the energy fields has taken her all over the world, to the Antarctic, to the Arctic, to explore the effects of the Earth's magnetism on the human field. And we're discovering tonight that at the very core of your physical body is an electromagnetic matrix. And that seems to be powering everything. And if something goes wrong with it, something is going to go wrong with your physical body. And the trick now is to start dealing with the very, very basics of physical life, and that is this matrix, this electromagnetic field. The psychics and the clairvoyants have seen a manifestation of this in auras. And auras tell us a lot. In fact, they sound nice. And we'll be listening to them in just a second. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Do you see them?
Yes. I don't see them all the time, but I see them very often.
Can you see them on will, or do they just kind of pop up?
If I'm in the laboratory and I'm working in that realm, I see them most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the time, I have to go into a higher state of consciousness. In other words, I'm not working with everyday reality.
Right. I've only seen an aura once.
Isn't that exciting?
That was when I was being hypnotized for a past life regression by Dr. Frank Baranowski.
Yes.
And that almost stopped the whole session because all at once I saw these beautiful golds and yellows and things around him.
Yes.
And I just wanted to watch that for a while. I didn't want to go any further. But that's it. I haven't been able to see them beyond that. But you listen to auras, I understand.
Yes, let me tell you about this electromagnetic energy. There's a part of it that is within the hearing range. And when this is amplified, the signal is a very small signal, but when you amplify it, you don't have to change it at all, then you hear sounds. Now, I have recorded the sound of the human aura for 600, 700 hours, and I found that by using high-frequency analysis, every time an aura reader would say blue, it had a particular shape, it had a particular frequency, and using a Fourier analysis,
mm-hmm.
we could tell what was the common sound for a particular color. So you have a tape there of the colors.
Okay, shall I turn that on?
Well, I'll tell you what we did here. You don't have the actual. You have these embedded in music
mm-hmm.
to make it more appealing to people.
Okay. So
the first one, the one you're going to turn on is a blue, if you're putting it where I set it,
mm-hmm.
it will be a blue and violet color, and then the music is put to it.
Okay.
This should make you feel very relaxed.
All right. We will play that here for a little bit, and you feel free to come in and explain on top
okay.
of it, you will.
Weather.
So this is the blue and violet aura of the human being.
At the beginning, you will hear just the aura, and then the music comes in afterwards.
So that sound is just the sound of the aura.
Yes. Now, the aura is below this now.
Now you're laying in the music.
That's right.
And for those that can hear stereo, AM radio, it's in stereo for you.
Yes, it is a stereo sound.
Are auras in stereo?
Don't think so, but we put this in stereo.
Yes. All right, let's just listen for a moment, because you're listening to a human aura with some music laid in over on top of it. This put together by Dr. Valerie Hunt of her extensive research. Amazed, Dr. Hunt, at how calming that is.
Isn't that lovely? I'd just like to say that Jay Griska is the composer of the music.
It is. Go ahead and talk. I'm just going to leave it underneath
you. Yeah, please just leave it there.
Yeah.
Because I have the blue, and the one that follows this is mauve and violet, which is also a very exciting one.
Yes.
But he was so excited when I played these sounds to him. And he said it's exactly like the word which is called the ostinato, which is used in the great music, which has undertones that carry the melody. Well, this is the biological ostinato, which carries the biological sounds and the biological information.
And everybody is projecting this at all times, then?
Yes, constantly, as long as there is life.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing is sometimes parts of the body don't have a very strong field. It's almost as though we say it's out to lunch. The field is...
That's what they say about my body all the time.
The field is isolated in some parts and not totally throughout the entire body. This presupposes, then, some problems with circulation, dysfunction, disease, and injury.
You know, I have talked to a lot of people who see auras, and they will say you have a blue aura, or you have a purple, or you have all of these colors. And I get the idea that there is an automatic meaning to those colors, that is, in talking to the ones that see them, that is very consistent. But I wonder if that is really so.
Well, I tell you, it's been exaggerated. And that is, everything has been placed upon that color.
Yeah.
Rather than a much more elaborate idea of a field, which has to do with coherency, which has to do with the quantity of the flow, which has to do with the frequency, with what we call wave trains, and all of these elaborate things of the field. Now, the color, there isn't really color. The color is an interpretation of a frequency when this impinges on the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And when it impinges on the ear and you hear a sound. So it is a vibration that impinges on the eye. We look at it and we see a color. There are some general ideas which we have found, however, such as the blues are much more relaxing and generally put people to sleep.
That was a blue we just played.
Yeah, that was blue. The reds are very, very stimulating, and we use these for people who have asthenic diseases and hypo diseases, those diseases where there's not enough activity.
Now, the second tape I have, is that a red?
The next one you're going to play?
Mm-hmm.
No, if it's right after the blue, this will be mauve and violet.
Okay.
This should take you into a higher consciousness. Enjoy this one.
Shall we go
yeah, for let's it? Go for it.
Let's go for this one and see what happens. This is the human auric field. You hear that?
Small and violent.
And then the music will lay in underneath it. And in stereo, for those of you here, AM stereo. So let's just enjoy this for a second, shall we?
Let's do it.
Sense, a different feel altogether.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It's very quieting, but it is not as relaxed as the blue.
That is correct, because it has a little red in it, Bill. And that red is a little more stimulating.
Yeah, it's. It doesn't want me to... I don't want to lean my head back and go to sleep.
No.
I just want to be intensely listening to what is happening here with the music. We'll just keep it under. You just keep on talking.
Well, I'd just like to say that we're doing some extensive research now on the use of the blue for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding it's quieting nervous babies. And parents are putting this on at night when the child goes to sleep, and the child goes very rapidly. If the child wakes up in the middle of the night and is restless, flip it back on and crawl into bed. It's a great help. The red reds and the orange are extremely interesting for stimulating people who are weak. We don't play them very long. We're using them for ulcers to encourage and increase the vitality. An interesting one you don't have down there tonight is a green and a yellow, which I've had great success with so far in some neurological disturbances, particularly those that go with the aging population, for both hearing difficulties and visual difficulties, in which otologists have said this is hearing loss as a result of nerve defect, and what we have found out that it's a result of the electromagnetic field is very weak.
Have you ever tried to induce these into the consciousness digitally so that you can bypass the eighth auditory nerve and, like, introduce it through the skin?
No, I have not at the present time.
That might be a very interesting thing to do.
And it's a possibility.
With devices like Dr. Flanagan's Neurophone.
Yeah, except, you know, there's some great information coming out of France now that has to do with the stimulation of the brain by way of the auditory nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And if the research that's coming there is correct, we probably will prefer to put it in through the ear because of the need and the stimulation to the brain being very, very greater from the auditory nerve than from any of the tactile.
There is a new science that is upon us, and we'll be springing that on you here in the not-too-distant future that sort of combines the auditory nerve and also the sensory perceptive ability of the human skin by scalar pulsing.
That's a good one.
Sound, or music.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And it's like turning on a speaker in the back of your head, actually.
Let me just add one thing there, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, there is, within the human energy field, a pattern,
mm-hmm.
which is a very human pattern. Now, as soon as we go to mechanical patterns, we come in with a much more limited and not as much harmonics mm-hmm. coming with it. And I will look for these kinds of new information and try to test them out and see if they're doing the same thing, because we will be able to test what happens to the field when you introduce these. Do you follow?
I certainly do.
Rather than just what's happening to the nervous system or to some symptom. But what is the phenomenon that is occurring that may have certain effects upon hearing or vision or so forth?
Would it be proper to assume that a person gets a disease because there is a breakdown in this auric field more than the disease caused the breakdown?
I think we will find that is the primary source.
Something
that the field breaks down before the immune system breaks down. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm.
That there's already a disturbance.
Well, the immune system certainly is going to be functioning with that field.
Yes, it is.
In fact, the immune system, the reticulum system, is going to be very, very co-responsive to it.
Correct.
Again, I like that term. It's the matrix upon which all of it is built.
That is good.
We have tape 3. Are those the reds?
Are you coming forward or are you going backward?
Well, let me see. We had the blue.
Yeah.
And then we
You didn't start right at the beginning. You started where I had set it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you have to go back to the beginning to get the red.
Well, I have three little cassettes here, three little tapes that the engineering department made from the material you sent
over. Okay, play it and let me hear it, and I'll tell you.
So we're going to play that in just a second. I want to take a little break.
All right.
And we're trying to calm your aura or your auric field. Bree Hunt, who has done probably some of the most extensive and in-depth research in the human auric field, the role that electromagnetism plays in our life, our being, our health, everything about us. She's worked at UCLA. She's a professor emeritus from UCLA right now, and she certainly is our guest tonight. And we're going to listen to An Unknown Color here, right, Dr. Hunt? You tell me what it is.
Okay. Playing the reds. The reds were at the first, but this is into the purples. Listen to this and see how high it goes. This is the highest frequency.
Right, now this is supposed to do what to us?
Well, this one is takes us into the spiritual area. You know, the interesting thing, I found that as soon as we got up into the very high frequencies, the individual started having spiritual experiences, whether they were particularly religious or not. But that is the realm at which we experience spiritual things.
I sure get an interesting kind of pulsing in my head.
Do you? Yes, this one is high. You'll find it up around the third eye and the top of the head. Actually, as you play these, you will progress upward. And this is into the purples. The red is the first one. And they probably didn't do that because I didn't know how many you wanted to play.
Oh, listen, they're so nice, we could just play them all night long.
Aren't they fun?
They're just
yeah.
fun.
These are going to be available in the commercial market.
Are they?
Yes. At the present time, my partner, Dan Rosenman, and I are working on expediting these so they will be available to people. In this.
Human origin. And the music has been laid in on top of that, but it's almost a subliminal, but it certainly is effective. I feel it very deeply in my head. Listen.
To get that, because this had to be cleared up from all the other sounds that are in the human body, and then it had to be put together, and we've blended several colors that are in the several shades that are in the same color spectrum.
Is there any discernible effect in listening to these that you can see that would contribute to a healing process, or perhaps aligning this matrix, this auric field we have?
Well, I have one tape, which I have not sent to you. I sent you these where the music was under it, and the reason I didn't send you the pure sounds is because these are tied up in franchises, working with franchises at the present time, and therefore I couldn't have them played on the radio yet. But what happens when you hear these, and we have one that has all of the color spectrums moving right on up, and it starts with the red, and it goes into an orange, an amber, a yellow, moves on up into the blues and the mauves and the violets, vermilion, into gold and white. And when these are played, the energy field of the individual, regardless of where they're stuck or what colors and what vibrations they don't have, tend to blend. And by the time we have finished this, I've checked them, and the field is really quite good.
So it does have an effect on them, just listening to
them. Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Very good. Are you ready to talk to the folks? They're really lining up here on the
line. Sure, I'm ready to talk to anyone who has a question.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Valerie Hunt. We're talking about the human auric field, electromagnetics, and how that is beginning to play a greater role in your good health, not only physically, but mentally. And you'll have a chance to talk to Dr. Hunt in just a second on Open Mind on Talk Radio 79. Phone lines are already totally full, and we hadn't even given the phone number.
Oh, nice.
Because they do want to talk to you, and an old comrade of yours in arms, you guys are always into things, just walked into our studio.
Tell him hello. He is a very, very marvelous and creative scientist in person.
Dr. Bob Beck. Bob,
yes.
You want to grab the microphone there and say hello to Valerie, if you will? And give us your impression of the work that she does. Hit that red button right there beside you there, yeah? There. You're
hello,
on.
Valerie Hunt.
Hi, dear. I'm so glad we're on the same program. And I'm gonna stop soon so you can carry on and give me your exciting work.
Well, listen, you're exciting us with these sounds.
How do you like those new sounds?
I love them. A lot of people are wanting to know that are coming in. I just got word from Brad in there where they can buy these sounds, or are they available yet, or will they?
They are not available yet. We are still working with companies, merchandising companies, on the development of these. But tell them, hang on, they'll be.
They will be available.
And they will carry my name with them.
And others wanted to know how they could reach you.
How they can reach me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can reach me at Post Office Box 4234, Malibu, California.
And a zip on that?
90265.
90265, out there in Malibu.
Right.
That's so pretty out there.
Thank you.
All right. Now, let's go to our callers. I know they've been patiently waiting for the last 45 minutes or so. Don, you're on.
Yes, I wanted to ask Dr. Hunt, does increasing brainwave coherence raise the frequency of the aura energy? And along with that, is aura frequency and coherence highly coordinated?
No.
Correlated, I'm sorry.
No. The frequency can be, for example, in one part of the body. It does not have to be throughout the entire body. What I call coherency means that the entire spectrum is there, from the low frequencies through the middle frequencies to the high frequencies. That I call coherent. And just because a person has high frequencies, frequently they have a dropout in the middle. Some people come in with very low frequencies, don't go very far. Others come in with low and high, and some of our meditators and our people who are into metaphysical come in with very high frequencies but do not have a very coherent field. This is true of some of our psychics.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
All right, thank you very much, Don. And we have Eric on the line. Hello, Eric.
Hello. It's always a pleasure to listen to your show, and I'm very glad that I was able to reach Dr. Hunt. I wanted to ask her particularly if she felt that there was an interplay between the kind of work that she was doing with the sounds and with the use of mandalas.
The use of mandalas?
Yeah.
Well, yes, Larry?
Eric.
I didn't hear very well. Eric, okay. There is, of course. Mandala is there to increase the total vibrational spectrum of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of a stimulus which causes this to take place is good. Now, this was one of the reasons for the development of mandalas, I'm quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do know that by the meditation and the focus on the mandala, we do go up in consciousness. I have not tested to see whether we have the full spectrum or whether we merely just go to the upper ranges. But I think the concept is, and totally correct, that it is to raise the frequency vibrations of the body and therefore the experiences of the person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the reason I'm particularly interested in that question is that some people, I'm part of a small group that has recently formed to work with mandalas in terms of color, shape, and so forth.
How marvelous.
In a, as an adjunct to regular medical treatment.
Marvelous.
So, do you have books and materials of that kind?
I have four books that will be coming out.
Oh.
I'm working on four at once.
Oh, my heavens.
No, what happens, you know, if you really want to have a complete a look at things, you don't come out with one and then another.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the entire spectrum of the emotional connections between these and many other factors, and so I have four that are in process right now.
Okay, well, now, if I were to write to you, would you be able to notify me about when the,
yes,
when
I would indeed.
When the books come out?
I will indeed.
Oh, great.
Thank you
okay.
for asking.
Surely, thank you.
All right, Eric, thank you very much for the
goodbye.
Call. Eric has been has quizzed us about the mandalas before. They're quite fascinating things. Dr. Hunt, I noticed in the latest issue of Discovery Magazine, there is the lead article in the magazine, in fact, Bob Beck has it here with us, is about the discovery of this massive electric field in the human body. Are you familiar with the work of the Swedish scientist that...
I haven't gotten that edition yet, right yet. I don't know what happened to mine.
Well, it is Norse. That way, I don't do Swedish that much. Bob, do you want to
That's
say anything like this? Dr. Bjorn Norsedtrom claims to have found the human body a heretofore unknown universe of electrical activity that's the very foundation of healing processes.
Yeah, this is a
critical
same thing.
Well-being as the flow of blood.
Same thing.
It's a great article to read.
I will read it.
All right. Now, let's go to Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hello, can you hear me, Bob?
We're hearing you fine.
Okay, I want to tell Dr. Hunt that I had a spinal cord injury 19 years ago
a thoracic gate in the middle of my spine. I was totally paralyzed from there down. In 1978, I began working with a physical therapist, and my left leg was more, was paralyzed. My right leg worked a little bit. But just concentrating, thinking of moving the left leg, well, I tried to move it. After about a year, I was able to move it.
Marvelous.
And I think this is something similar to what you're working with.
Yes, Chris.
And I'd like to be able to talk to you. You work at UCLA Medical Center?
No, I have retired from the university, so I can get my work done. You understand?
Yes.
You can't get your work done at UCLA.
Can't get your work done at UCLA, so I retired so I get my work done. I think this is very exciting. And let me just add a couple of things here. We're coming into a new physiological model of a human body. We used to think that when there was destruction in the nervous system, and particularly in the central nervous system, not the peripheral, that we're not able to regenerate. We're learning now that we do have the template, which means we have the pattern existing in the body and in the field, and that probably we will be able to regenerate hearts. That's a big one. Regenerate hearts, regenerate everything. Not only bring back function, but bring back tissue and structure. And I think it's marvelous that this has returned, and it was through your thought that brought it back.
There you are.
Dr. Hunt,
yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you familiar with somebody who's doing research using radio waves on the central nervous system?
Particularly radio waves? Well, we're into the radio frequencies. Do you follow? And this is being used, are you thinking of a particular one? Do you know the particular person?
Well, I heard the name a long time ago, but I don't remember. But anyway, I can contact you at P.O. Box 4324 Malibu, right?
Correct.
90265?
Right.
Well, I will do that.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you.
All right, Chris, thank
Bye-bye.
You for that, and carry on a good conversation with Dr. Hunt, because you're in good hands if you do. And the big hand on the clock is... just caught up with us here. Dr. Hunt, would you mind staying with us for a while longer? We're going to take a break for our
news. Yes, I'll be happy to.
At 10 o'clock from ABC. And we'll be right back with Dr. Valerie Hunt, Professor Emeritus from UCLA, who is doing some fascinating work about your body, your health, the human auric field, a body of energy, a preponderance of energy that is just sort of sitting and simmering potential in your body. If you know how to use it, it'll heal you, it'll keep you from aging, most especially what it will do. And we're getting all of this information from the source, Dr. Valerie Hunt, who is a professor emeritus from UCLA, who has been delving deeply into this for a long time. She retired from UCLA so she could get her work done. She's writing 4 books at the same time. I think that's quite a lot of work right there, Valerie. And she's captivating us tonight with this thing called the auric field. Have we missed anything?
No, marvelous. Just marvelous.
We're on top of it here, huh?
You're very well on top.
Medicine is going in this direction, do you think?
Oh,
or are we
going to
set medicine aside and go in this direction?
The frontier of medicine is electromagnetic or energy medicine.
Well, I had an interesting story I will share with
mm-hmm.
you. Last August the 4th, my son... He's 26 years old, was bumped by a car and out in the street, rammed his knee up against the curb. And the specialist, when they operated on him, said they had never seen damage like that in the knee of a young man. And he was to be in a leg cast for about 6 months and then in a leg brace for about a year and a half after that. And he'd never be able to water ski and ski again. Within 4 weeks, he was... without the leg cast and the leg brace.
Marvelous. What did he do?
Well, I was done with a photograph.
Uh-huh. who did this?
Oh, that was just a little experiment we have going over at our place.
Uh-huh.
But he walks beautifully.
How great.
And I think that the electromagnetic fields involved here...
It is indeed.
Certainly opened up his own field, and he did the healing primarily.
Of course. The person always does the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's a healer or a mechanical instrument or some way in which the energy field is put to that body, it is the body that heals itself once the energy becomes coherent.
Yes. But I'll discuss with you the procedures we use in a very experimental way on that. But it started with a photograph. It's kind of fun.
Yes, I think I understand it, and I think I know who did it.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
There you are.
All right.
Okay. Well, it certainly works beautifully.
Yes.
We're going to turn on a little bit more of an aura here and get to Al, who has been wanting to talk to you for some time. Hello, Al. You're on. Al?
Oh. Hello.
There you are, Al.
Yes. Hello, Bill and Dr. Hunt.
My auric field wasn't hitting the right button.
No.
We're on now.
Go ahead, Al.
Oh, I wondered if maybe I have short-circuited my electromagnetic field. This afternoon, I had a shovel and a hoe in my hand, and I reached over to get another tool that I needed, and I stayed in that position. I wasn't bent over. I was just... And I have a backache like you won't believe. I look like a 70-year-old man walking around,
uh-huh.
And I'm only 66.
Uh-huh. Let me just add something here. Your field is already disturbed.
That's what you said earlier.
When you got a mechanical problem, and that is you were probably already mechanically tense in these muscles. So the fatigue was already there, and the energy field was already disturbed. And so now what you have is a disturbed energy field plus a mechanical problem with muscle spasms.
Well, how do I get that, my fingers dripping, or how do I plug into the back?
Yeah, let's get that energy running up and down your back.
Let's get that energy running up and down your back. And if you can't get your hand on it, and there's no one there with you to lay on hand and just let energy drip through their fingertips, water is a very, very good one. A shower, not only the heat that is increased by a warm shower, but also there's a radiation of electromagnetic energy around showers. This is one of the reasons that it stimulates us so much more than a bath.
Those are the good old negative ions.
That's correct. That is correct.
What about a spa? Do you have a spa, Al?
No. I'll come over and use yours.
All right. It's crystal clear, and I never put chlorine in it.
I know.
Well, let me tell you, the stationary water is not as good as the water which is pouring. And so the spa, if you're moving it, is better. The hot tub's not so good.
Well, that ends the spa trip, Al.
Yeah, just blew that out of the water.
Blew that one out.
So what's this business about breathing through the... I should start breathing through my back?
Yes, you should start breathing as though you are imagining that you're pulling energy right in through your back. And take it in, and take it into your tummy and your chest, and then as you exhale, imagine that you're taking it out through your back. And we have tested this will increase the electromagnetic energy, and you will find the pain starts to go, and it will heal faster.
Well, let's pray.
Well, you've got a
good
little,
luck to you.
You've got a hitch in your
get along
auric field.
Yeah, you were in trouble when you started to work.
Or it wouldn't have happened.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right,
Al.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for jumping in here with us. And spa's out, but get in the shower. And we have Craig on the line. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
From way up there in Northern California?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you've done some incredible programs in the past, such as with Tom Bearden, Pat Flanagan, and, of course, the incredible, one of my all-time favorites with Rosemary Brown.
Uh-huh.
And tonight's program joins that select group.
Well, thank you, Craig.
Dr. Hunt.
Yes, Craig.
You may be aware in Japan they have what are called national treasures.
Yes, I do.
Valued elders, and I would nominate you to that category for our country.
I will accept it. How's that, Craig?
Okay. I have so many questions. I think we can kind of run through them in a continuing progression.
You're fading just a bit there, Craig. I know. Speak up a little bit.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Let's see. First of all, could you explain how you transformed the colors of the aura into the sound frequency spectrum?
Yes, I can. The ordinary frequencies, the frequencies that we were picking up, went from approximately zero up to 200,000. Of course, you can't hear in those ranges, but this is a harmonic or a subharmonic of the original source. And we took that energy and amplified it, and that's all we did. and it came in with sound. Now, when this first happened, Craig, it was an accident. My laboratory manager turned up the instruments one day when we were playing it back on an oscilloscope, and we got sound. And so we realized that all we needed to do was amplify that part of this was in the range of hearing.
That was quite a discovery, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, indeed.
Now,
you know, we'd say who's on second, who's on third. We didn't say that. We said who's in yellow and who's in red.
As you listen to these sounds, can you tell if there is something misaligned in the person?
We will be able in the future, I think, to make diagnoses based upon the field. And with elaborate new analytical technique called fractals, in which we can analyze the electromagnetic field by analogs, new kinds of analogs, not the kind that are presently here, we will be able to see the picture of disease in the field.
You know, you're getting ahead of me, Bill. I was heading that direction. There's one thing I'm still not clear, though. When you have an aura,
yes,
which is, well, the part that you see, of course, is in the visible spectrum.
Correct.
How does that correspond to the frequency spectrum that we can perceive as sound?
We're into the light frequency when we see it as an aura, correct?
Yes.
But within that, the harmonic that comes down has exactly the same pattern, but it doesn't have as high a frequency.
Oh, okay.
Got it?
Oh, okay.
All righty.
That's very clear and straightforward, then.
Thank you.
Okay, have you done any tests where you play the music that corresponds to the colors?
Yes.
To see if you have a general recognition of what colors is being played.
That's a very interesting one. I haven't done a long-term study, but those people who are sensitive, now you're hearing the music because I can't at this stage give you the total sound.
Right.
They are elaborate and they are magnificent. These will be available, but as I said, I'm tied up now in franchise. But people who are sensitive can tell you exactly what color it is because they even turn that color themselves and they experience it. Now, not everyone can do this.
And is it a uniform, well, I guess you're answering that.
Let me add one other thing, Craig, because your questions are so marvelous. And that is that there are some people that do not have red, a very strong red in their field. These are people who are not very active, physically active. They don't have a great deal of vitality. And generally, they are emotionally very bland. Frequently, they cannot tell red, and they don't even like red. Are you
talking about me?
I don't think so. I don't think so. There are other people that are so high in consciousness, and frequently these are some of our people in metaphysics today that don't have any red, but they have all blues and violets, and they're highly susceptible to that. And then I have found some machos who have all the reds and the oranges, and they can't tell blue and violet from anything.
You're
they
talking
don't
about
care.
Bob Beck now.
No, I'm not. He is a very high boy.
Yes, he
has the red, too, I know.
Have you seen Bob Beck's aura?
Of course.
Red, huh?
No, I didn't say that. He has the full spectrum.
Yeah, he's got everything.
He's what's called loaded.
I had a thought
yes.
About a week ago. I don't know, I'm sure this must happen to you from time to time where you're not really thinking in a focused way about anything and a thought comes to you unbidden, as it were.
Yes.
It occurred to me that in the future we may well be able to use narrow frequency bands, whether in the visible spectrum or outside it, such as you might generate with a laser, for healing by applying it, say, through the eyes or through some other part of the body.
Of course. Of course. Now, the only one caution which I have right now, and that is as soon as you come into mechanically created, you don't have the modulation as much. And if I could show you the data which I have, you will see a very dynamic modulation, which is the human field. And when we work with other fields, they're more succinct. They don't have the harmonics
mm-hmm.
that goes with them. And I think we will be able to just use the human field. We can accentuate that, but use the human field and use these and heal more readily because it's more compatible.
It's also more appropriate technology, I guess.
Of course.
How does the AMA take all of this, Dr. Hunt?
Well, some of the AMA are very excited, and some of the oldsters and the diehards are not.
All they want to do is cut, cut, cut.
That's right. But you see, as long as people in our country decide that they're not going to be cut, cut, cut all the time, and surgery certainly is important in many instances, but we're the people who will make the decision. And when we say we do not wish to have it the other way, we want to be personally involved in our own health, we can make choices. And there are many physicians who are very excited.
Well, that's wonderful that they're looking at the fact that there's more to the human body than just a bunch of cells.
Correct.
There's a dynamic source of energy there and a source of incredible intelligence that's making it all run.
Of course.
Have you ever thought about where that comes from?
Well, I have. In fact, that's the whole next line, and I could go on for hours. But I had a very exciting breakthrough that came. As I was recording this energy field, I found that it responds to situations before anything happens inside the physiological body. Anything we could record. I had on brainwave testers, the heart rate, the blood pressure, the galvanic skin response. And by the time we picked up signals in these systems, the auric field had already changed. And I would manipulate the auric field to see what was happening. And all of a sudden, I said, you don't suppose we're picking up a part of the human mind. Now, we've never known where the mind is. We know that the higher levels of the mind is not in the brain. This has been told to us by our great neurosurgeons and neurophysiologists. And we probably are picking up here the part of the mind which does read the field of other people. And this is your clairvoyance.
Mm-hmm.
This is your telepathy is occurring in this field. And this is where I believe the mind, the highest level of insight, intuition, imagination, creativity, these aspects of a human being that we have never been able to locate in the human brain.
You're heading in the direction in the conversation which I really wanted to go. I was going to ask you, can we relate the kinds of energies that we've been speaking of with what a lot of people refer to as life energy?
Yes.
Can we define that specifically now? Because that is a term that gets thrown around loosely. And in the past, it's been very difficult to really define it well.
Well, we have to kind of come around the hill for it. We found out that at the time that the vital processes stop, there is a great change in the field, and there are a great deal of photons released, and this was, I believe, came from Switzerland, in which the radiation coming from the body in photons is 10 to 100 times greater at the instance of physiological death. So we can say that this is connected with the life force, with the life activity.
Have they found anything corresponding to that at birth? Because I had a very strong experience that I could really only describe in those kind of terms. With the birth of my son, shortly after he was born, he had a difficult birth. It was as if a burst of energy hit me as he turned from blue to pink.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you picked up his field, Craig, and you were very sensitive to it. Now, as his field radiated, and there was an emotional factor here on your part, too, and that is, as he came into a more vital life process, this accentuated your field activity. So, what you're saying is very exciting, because we're talking about transactions. We're not just talking about a field. We're talking about a transaction between fields.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the primary communication, I believe, between living species.
Oh, you're really heading where I wanted to go, because I wanted to ask you about that and about emotions. Have we gotten to the point where we can define, beyond using psychological terms, what emotions are? My sense is that they are, in some sense, either different frequencies of some sort of energy. Do you see where I'm heading?
Yes, I know exactly. In fact, I have one book coming out, which is called Emotions and the Mystical Experience, in which we will relate that to the frequency system.
Are they complex waveforms or what?
Yes, very complex.
Uh-huh.
I think what we call emotions is the organization of the field. It has an organization. It's not totally random. And I believe that it is what we call emotions, which organizes the field.
And we do the organizing.
That's right.
Have you been able to characterize in real distinct terms the different emotions?
Yes. That I can say, yes.
All right, Craig.
Okay, I guess it's...
That blows your mind, doesn't it,
yeah.
Craig? I guess it's a little difficult to get into the detail on that on the radio, I can imagine.
Well, we do have other things we've got to do.
Right. Do you have any books that are currently available?
Do I have any what?
Any books that are currently available?
Don't have any currently available ones, but they will be out within this year.
Okay.
Coming out soon, and so is the music.
Well, it's really been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank
you, Craig. It's always good to have you on the horn, and you have to call all the way down from way up there in Northern California. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Dr. Valerie Hunt. We'll be back in just a moment. Marie Hunt is with us. It's been a stimulating hour and a half, and I appreciate, Valerie, you staying up late to kind of electrify the folks as you've done tonight. Can we recap what you've said, and we'll get on with Dr. Beck, and I'd like for you to, you know, listen to what he has to say. Because
I will indeed. I'll go straight to the radio.
Go straight to the radio on there. But the gist of the conversation that you and I have had tonight is that in this old body of ours, there is something very fundamentally that's going on about it that we can call the auric field. I use the term a matrix upon which our body is built. And this seems to be where the problem arises when that gets out of kilter, more than the physical body. The physical is only going to respond to that, isn't it?
Right.
And your research and others that are in this field around the world is pointing a whole new way for the medical profession to go. Let's get down to the very basic reason for this disease.
So that are pro-European, for example, towards research and cure are being considered not useful here in the United States. So do you know anything about that?
I know a great deal about it, but I think it might be a little off the topic. Donsbach did a lecture recently. I have a copy of the tape in the car right now, in which he says that it wouldn't be popular to use hydrogen peroxide as a cancer cure because there's no profit in it. He himself.
Yes, I heard that statement.
It.
Exactly.
And so that, I think, sums it up very well. Thank you for bringing up the point.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, John. And Norm, you're on.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Beck used the word iatrogenic, right?
Maybe I mispronounced that.
Well, how do you pronounce it? What was the word you used?
Iatrogenic.
Iatrogenic. I mispronounced it.
Okay, it starts with the letter I, I'm sure of that.
I didn't say it, so I'm innocent here.
I want to tell you that I'm a perfect example of iatrogenic results of medical action.
You're not alone.
And it's resulted in several things. Now, my name is Norm, and I'm 72 years old, but I'm very young, 72.
Very good.
And right. I'll tell you that, you know, I have lived for 37 years in a wheelchair and did all my career in a wheelchair and have done very well. And this is the result of what we call suspected polio.
Oh, yes.
They really didn't know that it was. And it would be kind of interesting if the application of your electromagnetic theories could produce results that would eliminate this so-called thing from my body. I mean, a man of my age suddenly having nerve reactions that he never had before.
I believe this is possible. I have seen results in animal studies where this has been done. In other words, it might be the end to problems with paraplegics, etc. The problem here is that the FDA requires many years of animal studies before what is called a Class 3 permit for limited human experimentation on adults with informed consent is permitted, and then after the clinical trials, it may or may not be accepted by the mainstream. Now, there are a number of very good reasons why these devices, which do restore nerves and do restore brain tissue, might not be used for a bit, and that is that the doctor using any type of unconventional therapy would be liable. and his liability insurance simply wouldn't cause any accidents that could accrue to an unconventional treatment. So we can understand that a doctor, in trying to preserve his reputation and his assets, would not want to use some of this new experimental technology. I'm in sympathy with him, but on the other hand, I feel the restrictions are a little bit rigid, and it is stifling a lot of this new age research.
Well, I have several objectives in this call. Number one, to learn more about the subject you're talking about, because I'm completely ignorant. And two, perhaps to find some practitioner who uses this approach who might want to use me as a...
Okay, you would almost have to go offshore. You would have to go to Mexico. I really recommend that if you're anyone out there who's interested in this, get this marvelous book, The Body Electric, by Dr. Robert O. Becker, B-E-C-K-E-R.
I'm writing this down.
The Body Electric.
The Body Electric.
Robert O. Becker, M.D. He was chief of orthopedic surgery at the Syracuse Veterans Hospital, and when he discovered that he could grow limbs back... etc., most of his research grants were cut off. I think you'll find the book a fascinating commentary on our politics and economics of medicine as it is today.
Now, why did they cut off his research grants if he could start growing limbs back?
It was controversial.
Oh, I see.
What was his last name?
B as in boy. B-E-C-K-E-R.
Uh-huh.
No relation. I'm Robert Beck. He's Robert O. Becker.
Right.
He's a very, very good man, and I think that would be your entry-level...
To read about that.
Yes.
All right, then I want to bring up another subject related. Recently, I mean, while I've been getting along very well, and, you know, if you take on the philosophy that has really been adopted by Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, to accept the things you cannot change and have the wisdom to know what you...
I understand.
You know, which I followed this principle. All of a sudden, I had, on November the 11th, an operation on a cataract. And the operation was very successful. I mean, I can see 20/30 out of that eye. But it's completely uncomfortable, and the doctor says, well, you're just going to have to live with it. Because there's nothing we can do about it except if we took the implant out, and that's very dangerous. Well, is there anything I can do using your science?
There probably is, but if I mentioned it, I would be practicing medicine without a license. And
is there anybody I can go to?
Why don't you read the book that I recommended, and then maybe we can talk again sometime.
On this... program?
Yeah, he tells, no, not on the eyes, but just the way the body reacts to electricity.
No, I mean, how can I talk to you again?
Well, leave your telephone number with the operator,
all right,
and I'll pick it up on the way out in about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And just keep up the good fight in there, Norm.
Thank you.
All right. Marilyn.
Yes, hi, Bill.
How are you?
I really hadn't gone away. You must be hammered with the phone. I heard you. I heard you mentally.
Oh, good.
Dr. Beck, I don't know whether this is going to sound kind of strange, but I've noticed something when I meditate or when I'm just very quiet and reading a book or whatever. I tend to hear like a high-pitched beeping sound in my right ear. That sounds lost. The only way I can explain it is like in elementary school when you used to have to take a hearing test.
Sure.
And they'd turn on the pitches and go higher and higher, you know, but it was just a straight sound. But this is almost like a Morse code. It's like dot, dot, dash, dot, 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 you know, I mean, it almost makes me want to find out if it's a code or something.
Well, the first thing to do is to find out whether it's inside of your head.
It's in the inner ear.
Tinnitus, Meniere's syndrome, you could check that with certain vitamins. But the easiest way is simply to put your finger in that ear to stop out. Of course, you've already done this. You're determining, you have determined it's coming from inside your ear, not from the environment.
No.
That's fascinating.
And it's really when I'm quiet, when I'm meditating, and it's not something that is uncontrollable as far as overpowering, because I can close it out if I want. It's not an irritating thing.
Marilyn, is it a single pitch or does it vary? In other words, does the pitch, is there a pitch that's interrupted, or does it go...
This has been sound effects night.
I could whistle when I came.
Well, no, it's more or less a single pitch. Maybe it might go up a little bit, but it's more or less a steady pitch. It's just that it's really when I'm meditating, though. It's not just a regular thing that happens all the time.
Strangely,
it's like a spiritual experience, as far as I'm concerned.
There's a whole new theory, and we don't know whether it's good or bad, that there is a continual pitch going on in the ear against which the outside sounds are compared for phase, and this is the holoscopic or holographic sound tape that you've seen at a number of the New Age fairs that is so realistic that you feel you're actually hearing the sound behind your head or in front of it or left or right. And we understand that one way that this is produced is that on the tape is reproduced this exact sound, or what we think might be the sound that you're describing. And your ear compares all the other sounds to this and gives a much better sense of direction. Now, maybe in your enhanced state of consciousness, you're aware of something that would normally just be in the background.
That's more or less what it is, because I kind of tune in on it.
Right.
It's not that, it may be there all the time, but it's kind of like when I'm very quiet and in a meditative state or whatever. I am aware of it then.
I can still whistle 2.6 kilohertz. We used to do this to the telephones to get a free call, but... It'd be about half an octave above that.
But no free call here today.
No free calls.
I used to sing coloratura arias, F sharp above high C, and I would say that it's around C, not high C. I mean the middle.
Do you know that in terms of hertz, what frequency that would be? We know 440 is middle C.
No.
Okay. I'll have to look that
up. It's an octave above...
So
it's the octave below high C.
Okay, that would be around 1800 hertz.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be quite possible that that's something that goes on all the time in all of us, and we're not aware of it most of the time.
Except whenever you get hit on the head.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Science has come a long way tonight.
Not if you've had too much to drink.
No, not that. Okay, well, I'm just curious.
I wish I knew a ready answer to that, Marilyn.
All right.
Okay, Marilyn, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You're an open mind guy. My guest is Dr. Robert Beck. We're talking about things scientific, way out on the outer edge of it. If you want to know something that's going on that's new and most likely controversial, you've come to the right spot to ask the question.
Gee, I used to think it was C, but don't quote me. Premature senility is set in here tonight.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have to scare.
Old-timer's disease, they say.
Right.
I went to one of your workshops, Dr. Beck, and picked up a small, about the size of two or three match books or old-fashioned match boxes, the little ones. And it was about $350, and I brought it home and read the directions and dipped the tips in salt water and put it on. And what's it supposed to do?
Sounds like the brain tuner.
Yeah, that's the brain tuner. What it is, what it actually does, is it puts out a bundle of energies that will stimulate the body's production of neurotransmitters, basically beta endorphin, etc. And these have been used in the Soviet Union for about 30 years as a specific cure for anxiety, depression, insomnia, and addiction. And people have had absolutely marvelous success with these things. We have stacks and stacks of clinical tests, but we don't want to go into that right now because that, again, is another device which we're no longer doing that is not currently approved by the Food and Drug Administration. If you have any... questions about that, would you call that magic number in Santa Monica that I'm sure you have, and we'll talk to you about it off the air. Or wait, why don't you leave your number again with the operator, and I'll pick it up on the way out and give you a call in the morning, and we can go into that in great detail if you'd like.
That would be very good.
I'd be delighted to do that.
One other thing. During the course of your lecture, you were showing again things since, I guess, the late 1900s. That someone put together, and the AMA or the FCC, FDA came in and smashed it up. But after they stopped doing that, you repeatedly said, now, so-and-so did this, and the medical society said it wouldn't work, it was no good, but, and then you'd say, it worked. And then you'd say another one, and it worked. By it worked, what did you mean? That the lights went on, or that it really did what it was supposed to be manufactured for?
Yeah, it does exactly what it was manufactured for. At the time, they felt that this the emissions of these devices, the original work came under generically the term electronic medicine by Alfred Abrams, who died in the early 1920s, was taken up by Copen, Delaware, Malcolm Ray in Great Britain, Ruth Drown, Galen Hieronymus, and others in this country. Surprisingly enough, a lot of these devices are currently being used in agriculture, and they either work surprisingly well or not at all. And there again, there are a number of variables, and if you'd like, why don't you come around to some of our free U.S. Psychotronics Association meetings and sit in. There are a lot of people interested in these subjects, and you'd meet the rest of your family. And these come up for discussion regularly, and we network with the people who are on the, what we feel, the cutting edge of the research in this area. And there again, many of these concepts are not yet accepted by conventional academic scientists, and a number of them are. So I believe we were talking at that time about the general area of psychotronics, radionics, etc.
Right.
And how these devices can interact with some types of fields out there, perhaps scalar. I hate to use these buzzwords without a rigid definition. But I know from my own direct experience that they can be exceedingly successful where everything else has failed in altering a condition.
So maybe I can use it on my rosebud.
I don't know. There are probably people out there.
Rosebuds need all the help they can get.
Is that Carl with a K or a C?
With a C.
C.
Okay, Carl?
Yes.
All right. Catch one of the seminars then. And we have Kathy on the line. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, good evening. Glad to be on your show.
We're glad to have you aboard.
Great. I just have a couple questions for Dr. Becker. Becker, excuse me.
This is Becker. Becker's the
I wish
guy.
I were, Becker.
Becker's
that's
the other
a,
one.
That's a compliment.
regarding, you were speaking of the electromagnetic field earlier, and just in relation to that, I'd like to ask, have you any comments on, like, we have an emphysema victim in our household here, and just wondering if there would be anything that we might do to utilize that towards the healing.
Did the person smoke?
Not any longer, but yes.
Well, then I would call that suicide, not a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Bill is scowling at me here.
Now,
there are some things which apparently...
Smoke every now and then.
Right. have you tried using a negative ion generator?
No, we haven't.
An inexpensive negative ion generator of typically $19 to $20 would knock a lot of the particulate matter, the pollens, dusts, etc., out of the air, would restore what's left of the cilia, and perhaps, in a way, aid breathing. Emphysema is considered sort of terminal. There's not much you can do about it once you have it. And here again, I don't want to practice medicine without a license on the air. But it just might be that the person smoked, and that's very, very, very common, and that person might be one of the 350,000 or so persons who die each year because they smoked.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to generate the body to rejuvenate those cells?
Yes, there is. But there again, take a look at the Robert O. Becker book. And
okay.
So much of this information is just now emerging into the mainstream. It had been the domain of private researchers doing their little things in their little attics. But now I think the tidal wave is in our favor.
It's been taken more seriously now?
Yes.
Very seriously. If you listen to the top of the show, we had Dr. Hunt on, who was talking
yes,
in these areas and the research that she's been doing, which has been quite is considerable.
I'm looking forward to all of that.
She's done very excellent original work. And, of course, she was quite controversial several years ago, and now she's a heroine.
Yeah.
Hello, Valerie.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy?
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Appreciate your call. And, Craig, you're on.
Yes. Dr. Beck?
Yes.
A number of years ago, I started out not believing in any of this stuff, and I go falling asleep and going into sleep and coming out of sleep, I'd go into these states of mind where, you know, I'd get astral projection and chakras that would turn on all this stuff.
You went out of body?
Yeah, several times. And I get that a lot. A couple of times in particular, I got that sound that you played on the tape, and I want to know more about that, and I want to maybe get a hold of a tape like that.
Okay, the tape itself won't do much for you.
Oh, I see.
It's part of a system. What you do is you put electrodes on your head so you can monitor your EEG, your normal brainwaves, and the amplified brainwaves are superimposed on a frequency. We use about 2 kilohertz because it's convenient. You can tape record it on any pocket cassette unit for $20. And then when you can match the sound of your own modulated brainwave to the frequency that you heard on the tape, you have sort of trained your brain to go into that hypnagogic or morphogenetic field or into the hologram where the coherent radiation is getting a little more detail than you would if you were using an incoherent brainwave signal. Nobody even knows what electricity is, but we can do a lot of things with it. And that tape was made on a very accurately controlled audio oscillator at exactly 7.83 hertz, which we believe is the magic number that turns on altered states of consciousness rapidly without spending 20 years in a Zen monastery or doing psilocybin cubensis or LSD or what have you. In other words, this is a normal, natural, organic way to tell your brain, let's look down this corridor instead of some other, and we're likely to see a higher level of consciousness. Now, there are reasons why you don't want to do that, because you will begin finding you have remote viewing talents and you're reading your friends' minds and what have you, but that's another story.
Well,
the show.
Right. Yeah, we'll be back.
I wanted to develop myself along these lines, but also, could you maybe tell me about your seminars and how I can get into them?
All I can tell you is that I got conned by Paul Andrews into doing 3 or 4 of these, and they were an incredible hassle because we had to prepare so much material for the visuals and the research and the electronic instruments that we use to demonstrate, to give people back to themselves, deliver them from the hands of another vested interest, that I swore I'd never do this again. I get many more gray hairs when I do seminars. But
you're going to do it anyway.
Well, you might want to call area code 213-393-9405 and talk to the people out there at Threshold and see what they have in mind next time. I promised them I'd do one more, but I might change my mind. Again, that's 393-9405.
Okay.
And ask Paul Andrews or whoever answers the telephone what we're going to be doing next time.
Okay. And would you have any other parting shots of what kind of information I should seek out for helping myself develop along these lines?
Well, you're talking to somebody who has done them all. I think for about the last 40 years I've fluttered around every guru and ism and ology that's come by. I've discarded about 99% of the stuff and gone back to the electromagnetic spectrum and instrumentation as what I feel to be the most promising. Now, if you're listening to KPFK and Terrence McKenna, he's recommending psilocybin, and if you listen to somebody else, he's recommending meditation, or you could be a born-again Christian or whatever, but we believe that if you start looking at the actual electromagnetic events going on within your own biosphere and learning to control these, that you're getting an awfully lot closer to where you want to be.
I see. Well, thank you very much,
Dr. Greg. Appreciate the call. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me tonight is Dr. Bob Beck. Bill Jenkins, and on the line is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Dr. Beck. About over a year and a half ago, I was listening to a local Los Angeles pastor who was talking about Dr. Nikola Tesla, and he was mentioning his lighting up of a whole city or transferring electricity without any use of wires and possible applications of this in regards to, say, the refueling of nuclear submarines and pods and antipodes and possible changes in the weather due to very high frequency or very low frequency transmitters.
That may have been Gene Scott, who was working from a place of limited knowledge, and yes, I'm familiar with this. And the work was done at Boulder, Colorado, by Tesla at about the turn of the century, and the work was discontinued around 1910. And he had very, very high voltage Tesla coils, they were called, resonating transformers. And he could transmit some energy for considerable distances. But, of course, there were bad side effects to this, and that this energy was going through human nervous systems and charging electric fences. And it would be devastating if there were any aircraft in the area, etc. And by the way, Chris, I need to correct myself here. It is A440. So forgive me for thinking that was C a minute ago. And yes, Tesla was working on what he felt was a system that basically would charge in an oscillating fashion the ionosphere of the Earth, and using the Earth itself as the ground plane, anyone with a proper antenna could then couple into this Earth ionosphere gradient and extract free energy. But my own personal experience, and I've been a Tesla buff for about 40 years at least, my own personal opinion is that it was not a very practical or viable system, although it is coming around again in popularity. It's sort of one of those mythical things that I don't believe would be practical as a reduction to practice today.
Now, I wouldn't have any problem finding information, say, in the local libraries on this man, Mr. Tesla, would I?
There was, until recently, the Tesla Book Company up north, and most of these have wound up here in Los Angeles with Andy Anderson, who has the books of their entire collections of Tesla patents, and they're the Tesla patent covers, and these have been printed and reprinted, and I wonder if we should give out Andy's phone number for a source of books. No, let's not do that. You can find these in various bookstores. The Bodhi Tree has a lot of Tesla work. And
there's a lot of Tesla work over at Alexandria, too.
Right, very good.
They have complete works.
Excellent bookstore.
Yeah. Alexandria, too?
Yes, that's in Pasadena.
Colorado Boulevard.
Colorado and Rosemead. They're a good client of the show, by the way.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yes.
Well, let's go out there and buy her Tesla books.
I know that she did has an extensive collection of stuff from Tesla. In fact, she got a lot of it from John.
Even videotapes, right.
Yeah. Videotapes, the Nikola Tesla movie is there.
Right.
You can see that.
All
the
right.
One that starred Orson Welles.
That's an excellent idea, Chris.
Well, thank you very much for your help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good to have you aboard. And we have Maggie on the line. Hello, Maggie.
Hello there.
How are you?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've really been enjoying your program. For the last couple of months, I've started tuning in to Open Mind.
Well, thank you.
And I believe it was last week I discovered you were a Texas Aggie.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you are hearing from a Tessie from Denton.
There you go.
I'm going down next.
All of my sweethearts are up in Denton.
Uh-oh. I'm class of 51.
Class of 55.
Uh-oh. I'm going down to the Texas Sesquicentennial to homecoming next month.
Okay. Say hello to all of the Aggies and the Tessies, of
course. Oh, yes. Okay, now I'm a layperson who has been in studying with Dr. Noble here in Orange County with an awareness class, and we've experimented with meditation and hypnosis and so on, and I've attended a lot of workshops. Are you familiar with the work that Dr. Leonard Bell does with pyramid energy?
Are you talking about Fred Bell?
Yes.
Not Leonard, okay. Yes.
Fred, I'm sorry.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, well, I have been sitting here this evening with the program with one of Dr. Bell's copper pyramids on my head and doing these little exercises.
I was wondering if you were going to be wearing one of these pyramids.
Yeah.
We see them walking up and down the
aisle. Well, I had something interesting happen, and since there are no accidents, I thought I'd better call in and find out. I've been sitting here, and about, approximately 8 feet from me is our smoke alarm. And all of a sudden, it went off.
Uh-oh, change your battery.
Were you smoking?
No, there is no battery. I took the cover off, and I tried to find a battery, and there isn't any.
Sometimes they're sort of disguised. They're lithium batteries or other types of things that don't look like down-home batteries. And failing that, maybe you should donate your body to science.
Well, I've been told I need to use a lead shield around me because I've had all kinds of electrical things going wrong.
I'd take that pyramid off.
I think I'd take that pyramid and put it somewhere.
Well, I looked on the reading on the, and it said ionization detector. And I thought, well, I'm going to call in and see if there's some correlation to this.
All right.
Perhaps, was there?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Sorry about that.
Now, the pyramid and detecting ions in the air, which is what that smoke detector is doing, I don't see that there would be too much there.
Don't
okay,
see.
We've just taken a vote. Sorry about that, Maggie.
Okay, well, it was interesting. I couldn't pass up the chance to call in.
Well, thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
I want you to wear that pyramid whenever you go back to the homecoming.
I may.
They'll know you're from Southern
they'll
California.
They'll know you came from California.
I'm sure they will. Thank you very much.
Okay,
I'm enjoying the show.
All right.
Good night.
And, George.
Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah, speaking. I got in here late, and I just turned the radio on when you were talking about the hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
And I really didn't hear too much about it. However, I had three different operations on me. They keep cutting and cutting, and now they says, well, you're all healed up. You better go up and get your radiation treatment now. Well, I don't know. I'm scared of that radiation, and I never did show up. And so I thought if I could find out a little bit more about this peroxide from you.
Okay, tell you what I'm going to do, George. If you'll leave your number with the desk, I'll send you some absolutely free information on it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And I was in Minnesota about 4 weeks ago at the Minnesota Health Federation, and I met about five or six people that a few years ago had incurable cancer, and now they're fat and sassy and healthy and clean biopsies, and they attribute this all to simply ingesting a few drops of food-grade 35% hydrogen peroxide in a glass of water for a couple of months. Now, I find that terribly exciting, but there again, I can make absolutely no medical recommendations, either now, off the air, or anywhere, but there's a lot of this in the literature. And we'll send you a packet of it. I don't do this. I don't sell it. I don't push it. I just try to give people information that might be of assistance to them.
Yeah, the doctor that cut me the last time, he cut a big gash in me, and so then he had me use peroxide, swab it out.
Right. But this is taken internally, and apparently the free oxygen molecule, many of these internal problems from Candida albicans, etc., are apparently anaerobic. And when you raise the systemic oxygen a little bit, there are several ways of doing this. Hyperbaric oxygen, where you stay inside of a pressure chamber and you breathe pure oxygen at elevated pressures for a while, but that costs a lot of money. And the simplest way is, for 62 pennies a month, that's about 2 cents a day, you can ingest the food-grade peroxide, highly diluted, by the way.
Which one?
I'll send you some of the free information, and it's not my information.
Uh-huh.
I get it from an outfit in Minneapolis, and I think it works.
Yeah, what's that Candida albertas you mentioned?
Well, Candida is a type of fungus that lives in all of us, and when it flares up, can mimic any number of other conditions. There are books available at the health food bookstores.
Can you give me a list or anything when you say on?
Well, just ask for the books on Candida when you go to the various bookstores that were mentioned on the show, and I'm sure you can find that information in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
I find it extremely exciting because a lot of close personal friends of mine have done this, and they're better.
Uh-huh. And you did take a few drops of the 35% peroxide in a glass of water for a couple of months.
Yep. And they tell you how to start out with about 3 drops a day, and you work up to about 50 drops a day, and then you work back down again, and that should have taken care of a lot of chronic infections and other conditions. But here we are talking about medical things again, and I promised myself I wouldn't do it tonight. Forgive me, folks. Forgive me, FDA, but this is my First Amendment constitutional right of freedom of speech, and we're not practicing medicine.
Yeah. Do you want me to leave my number, name and number? Or?
If you do that, George, I'll give you the exact titles. I'll get back to you about the middle of the week.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, George. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
And we're getting pretty close to being out of time here. I want to hear that frequency again. What do you?
All right. Fasten your seatbelts.
All right. That frequency is doing what?
If you listen to this in one ear and listen to your amplified modulated brainwave in the other and match these two together, you may, if you're like most of the people who've done this, you may experience an out-of-the-body or expanded consciousness happening.
You mean that sound will help you go out of the body?
Not the sound, but your brainwave, when it matches this frequency, will probably be a very rapid way to get where you want to be.
Hmm. Let's just listen for that for a second. I'll do anything.
More calls on that switchboard.
Oh, there are a few coming in there. We may have time to get to one or two of them before it's all done. What about, Brad to the processing space and the old woodpecker? The woodpecker signals, are they still,
They're still here, but they don't seem to be quite as toxic as they were in 77, 78 when they were hitting Eugene, Oregon, full force.
Yeah.
Let's save that for another show.
The woodpecker signals?
Right.
And Eugene, Oregon, has that mess cleared up there that they created?
Considerably.
Just cleared it up a little bit. Well, let's see. We'll try Florence. Florence, quickly.
Hello. I just wanted information about the literature that Dr. Beck mentioned.
Of the H2O2 in a very dilute form, 0.5%, if you're a stickler for accuracy, has apparently reversed a lot of incurable conditions. And I find this very exciting.
My daughter's in the field. I'm sure she would be interested. You're having people leave a name and address?
No, that was just for George, who had a very pressing problem. But if you go to the bookstore and ask for that book, all of the information is in it.
What's the title?
And with that, we have to go,
huh? C-A-N-D-I-D-A.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Next week, it'll be Bob Burns and Ron Dexter. We're going to listen to music, okay?
KABC Talk Radio 79.